Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Peace of mind comes as standard with a Kia 7-year warranty.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551, wash your hands, please, please, please. Mary Phelan. Mary, good afternoon.
Hello, John.
Good. You were in Dunn Stores, and Ashbourne Dunns are flying in this this current atmosphere. They seem to be doing very well and working very well. You had a very positive little event. What happened, Mary?
I did, yeah. There was a queue, obviously, as there's a queue now to get into the supermarket. Yeah. And I was standing in the queue, mm-hmm. and there was a member of Dunn's staff in the centre, and she had tea and coffee machines on the go there, and you could have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a bottle of water if that's what you wanted.
On the house?
On the house, yeah.
Outside the house, outside the supermarket,
yeah,
on the house.
Yeah, outside Dunn's, yeah. Yes,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I thought it was a very nice gesture now. I mean, I'm queuing outside other supermarkets other days of the week, yeah. and nothing ever, you know.
And Dunn's are doing well. They're number one in the country at this stage. So 51551, my chance. Aoife Four and Aoife, you've a different axe to grind with Dunn's. Tell us, Aoife.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I have a boutique in Enniscorthy in County Wexford. I wouldn't say I have a problem in particular with Dunn's, but I just feel we're closed now 9 weeks. We're a small boutique. We opened in recession times, and we've had to work very hard to keep the doors open.
And on the roadmap, when are you due to reopen?
Not till the 8th, which will be 12 weeks of closure.
The 8th of August?
The 8th of June.
The 8th of June, okay.
Which will be 12 weeks in total that I was closed.
Yeah.
Dunn's and Enniscorthy actually opened their retail, which is upstairs, the clothing department, last Wednesday.
Oh, I thought you were only allowed to do food and off-licence.
Well, I thought that as well, and that's why my boutique is closed at the moment. We haven't been trading. We're trying to do a little bit online.
I don't know much about the fashion business, but... this time of year just gone and is for the summer season is critical, isn't it?
Yeah, well, all my spring stock is currently in the shop, which was a lot of wedding stuff and high heels. And unfortunately, and understandably, there's no weddings and there's no nightclubs and there's no going out or there's no parties. But all my stock is gathering dust down there. And, they were allowed to open and have a big sale and jump in front of all the rest of us. And I'm here trying to trade from home and do a little bit online.
Did they have a sale in fashion?
Yeah, the fashion, the kids' clothes and that kind of thing. Because I suppose they would have had stock in like ourselves in the smaller shops from, early spring stuff. And they'd probably try and shift that so they can make way for their summer stock.
How badly have you been hit, Aoife?
Do you know, I'm very lucky. I have very good customers because I'm there 9 years and I have very good customers who have supported me. Mm-hmm. And, it's only for them, we wouldn't be reopening, basically.
What about online competition? I know you're a one-off shop.
Oh, sure.
So.
You have all the different, you have the Boohoos and they're always... They have ads on the television, they have the power to, put big advertisement campaigns out there. And then there's the little boutiques, but it is the customers and, the local people in the surrounding areas and all that support the boutiques. And, you become friends with people who come to the shop and they appreciate the service that they get in the small boutiques.
But last week I saw Google... You can almost do it yourself when you tap into the search engine. When is a sector opening? The number one last week was when is the hairdressers reopening, and number two was when is Penny's reopening.
I know. Yeah, see, Penny's would be a huge competitor to us, and Dunn's would be as well. And Dunn's is a stone's throw from my shop. It's only around the corner, and I'm not here to bash Dunn's. I think they've done very well. I've been in the store to get groceries and the staff are very friendly and they're very nice. But I just want to know who gave them the red light to open their retail sector upstairs. that was completely separate. The cell closed, and a small boutique like myself has to remain closed.
And did you want more bad news, Aoife? Unfortunately, you've just been told that Tesco in Cabra, which is a massive store, had all closed half price for the last week.
Oh, the same in Wexford Town. We don't have a Tesco's in Enniscorthy, but in Wexford Town there is a Tesco's, and they opened in the morning with the sale, and they had to close by 3 o'clock because the crowds were that bad.
And now I'm told by Rebecca, the texts are indicating that Tesco Nationwide has had a closed sale.
Yeah. So they're jumping in line ahead of us, and we're closed down.
But Aoife, does your shop front onto the street? It's not in a mall, is it?
No, no.
So your shop, this is one of the things in the roadmap, that the malls, the enclosed malls, will be last to open. But any shop that fronts onto a street, in other words, where a queue can form in the open air, a reopening earlier, but... we don't have to second guess, but it sounds like from what you're saying that you would be safe, feel safe, and act safe if you reopened next Monday.
Well, of any time in my shop, there'd be never a huge amount of volume of people. I work there on my own, and then there might be two or three ladies in at one time. It's not like there's flocks of people coming in, unless it's a busy Saturday or bank holiday weekend. It's usually two, three people max. And if there was two people in the store, I'm sure if someone came in and you just said, sorry, would you mind just waiting out until one person leaves? Mm-hmm. People are going to understand.
But you know? You were saying earlier on that your spring stock is in the shop, locked effectively.
Yeah.
When you buy your spring stock, do you have to pay for it up front?
Yeah, you would have to pay for a lot of stuff up front. And then there would be suppliers... because after 9 years, but after 9 years, you would be allowed a certain amount of credit. But, I stock Kate Appleby shoes. They're down there in the shop. And, of course, my supplier will be looking for payment, and rightly so. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to pay him, and they're high heels, and they're dressy shoes, and there's nobody going to those kind of things, which is understandable. But maybe if I had the chance to open and have a little sale, I might shift those stock. At a bit of a loss, but at least I could play my supplier.
Yeah.
You know?
And Aoife, are you the main breadwinner in the house?
Yeah, I am. And we have three boys.
Yeah.
You know, and you're at home now, and you're not used to being at home, and you're trying to do your bit online, and the phone is ringing, people are looking for stock, and you're trying to... You know, if I could be in the shop even a certain amount of times in the week...
And you're not... Are you allowed into the shop?
Well, I had went a couple of times because I had to, you know, and I feel now, after it being closed for so long and it's an old building, I'm going to have to start going down and opening the door for a certain amount of hours to aerate the place, because there's actually no windows as such that you can open. So as of next week, I'm hoping to start going down a bit more down there.
And the other thing, I completely forgot about it. Because people aren't going out at night time, especially young women, the clothes sales are down.
Oh yeah, sure. Like, I have the most beautiful, like, this is our boom time of year. You think communions, confirmations, christenings, like, they would be my bread and butter. Like, you know, I start getting into stock in February with the confirmations first in mind, then the confirmations are over, you have communions, and in between then you'd have your weddings and your christenings. And I've had none of that because everything has been at a halt. So all those lovely dresses are down there and nobody wants to buy dresses.
Yeah, but you need... Okay, I know you want to be open the same way as Dunn's and Tesco's are selling clothes. But also you need you need the nightclubs, you need the Tamangos of this world to reopen so people have a demand for the clothes.
Yeah, well, thankfully I've been lucky that I've been able to... My supplier has worked well with me. She's based in Dublin and she's an Irish they're an Irish company.
Okay.
And luckily she's worked with me and I've been able to get in some casual clothes and they do sell well. But if we had the chance to open and sell what was left in the shop that's not casual, Dunn's did, we might have a good chance.
Yeah, but even the Dunn's, what Dunn's say, well, we couldn't isolate the clothes section. We couldn't stop people going into it.
But say the Dunn's in Enniscorthy is like an escalator up and a complete different floor.
Okay, okay.
So, like, block off, like it was blocked off for a week.
Blocked off. Okay, okay. What's the name of your boutique again, Aoife?
It's Put a Bow on It.
Put a Bow on It?
Yeah.
All one word.
No, separate words.
Put a bow on it, okay. Yeah. Denise, good afternoon. 51551, wash your hands. Denise, you're Dunn's Drapery in the ILAC in Dublin, one of the biggest in the country at this rate.
Yes, Joe. I haven't been in myself, but my neighbour, she was in town, and she went into the ILAC centre to get boots and bought some goods there, and she wanted to get some groceries in Dunn's in the ILAC centre, so went down to the supermarket. But she said that there was a huge queue for the drapery, and that's about 3 weeks ago. So Dunn's have been selling clothes now for weeks, which I thought was really, really unusual. And they're still open selling. And again, there are queues for the drapery.
And is the drapery in the same... I know they reconfigured in the ILAC. Is the drapery in the same unit as food?
In the main shop, the main Dunn stores in the ILAC centre, the supermarket is in the basement on the ground floor. Ground floor, and obviously all the other floors, there are about three floors of clothing and household goods. So the rest of the shop has been open. Now you can obviously access it from Henry Street and from the ILAC centre itself.
And what about the other unit, the older unit that Dunn's had, but the other end of the ILAC?
That's purely
food now, isn't it? That's a big, incredible food hall. They've really
upped their game. It is. So I do think it's very difficult then for people like Og who, you know, are struggling to keep going. She said all the stock that she has will be just out of, you know, it'll be out of season by the time they get to open. But the big stores like Dunn's have been able to clear their stock, which is really, really unfair.
And I know, as we heard from our first call, Mary Phelan, like Dunn's are doing well and they are helping people, especially on the food front. And they've fed and clothed my generation and people who didn't have great incomes for generations. But
absolutely.
But Aoife, who runs Put a Bow in It, wants Dunn's to put a sock in it, and give her an equal break. Aoife, stay strong, stay going. It's called Put a Bow in It, and it's in Enniscorthy. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, and we're on Facebook and Instagram.
Good woman.
And thanks very much.
Okay, Aoife, how are you managing in the lockdown? Denise, come back to me. Sorry.
Oh, hi, Joe. Yes, I'm doing okay. My mum is 92, so myself and my husband, we all live together. So we've been very careful. We haven't been going out hardly at all, really, just to get essentials or having, you know, food delivered. Because though she's in very good health and very good shape, just want to make sure that she stays healthy. We're amongst the lucky ones. We have a nice house and we have a garden and we have enough food coming in, so we're comfortable. And I really feel for the people who are struggling, with families and apartments, and you know, who are struggling because they don't have any income. Yeah.
I'm especially conscious of parents with adult children, or indeed teenagers or younger children with special needs, who are not going to their day centres or schools. They are really, really under pressure. They really are.
It's unimaginable. You know what people are going through. So for people like me, I'm very, very lucky that we just have to do what we have to do just to keep everyone safe. My niece is a doctor in Beaumont, and she's qualified last year, and they're working really, really hard. Yeah. And I feel for all of those people, and we have to do our best. But, I do really feel for someone like Olive who's struggling. It's her business and she needs to keep it going. That's her livelihood.
Here. Okay, yeah. Denise, stay well and stay safe, and kind regards to your family and the 92-year-old warrior in your household. John, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
You were listening yesterday. We were talking about staycations are going to be the big thing this year, if people can manage them. We had the publican stroke counsellor on, Botty from... I discovered after that's his nickname, Botty from Killarney, and he was saying that they won't be able to operate the social distancing in the pubs. This was off the back of Charlie Chalk revealing that he's going to reopen 7 of his 9 pubs at the end of June rather than August, because he has a restaurant licence. But were you due to go to Bulgaria, or are you just priced going to Bulgaria?
No, we're going to Bulgaria.
Okay.
And obviously, with the situation, COVID-19, that's been shelved. But we probably would have went to Killarney anyway, as we do most years, go for a few days. Mm-hmm. But I was getting 2 weeks in Bulgaria, same price as I'm going to get, 5-6 nights in Killarney. I just think Killarney is extremely expensive place.
Okay, your line is terrible. I have to take a break anyway. Stay there. 51551, wash your hands.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Peace of mind comes as standard with the Kia 7-year warranty.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. John, you're back again. You say Kerry is too expensive. When you say the cost of 2 weeks in Bulgaria, do you include the flights?
Flights and accommodation, right?
Yeah.
Eating and drinking in Bulgaria is extremely cheap. Now, obviously, the food is probably not up to the standards you'd be getting in Killarney. But, if you're going on a family holiday, you're not going to be drinking fine wines and eating steak every night.
Yeah, of course.
But we go to Killarney most years. And the reason I keep going, even in spite of it, well, first of all, Killarney's a lovely place and the lovely people. And the standard of the accommodation is very good as well. But even allowing for all that, compared to other regions in the country, I just think it's very, very expensive.
Do you think?
I think they price themselves out of the local market here in relation to, most of the times in there, especially during the summer, you see those cult parties, mostly from America, but you see Germans and to a lesser extent English.
Now they're gone. They're gone this year.
No, that's what I said, but that's my point. That's why I was making that point, as in, a way out for Killarney now this year was with us people not going abroad, as I said the other day.
You're saying Killarney would want to improve their offer?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. I mean, and I'm not talking about staying in 5-star hotels. I'm on about, the type of place you go with your family, 3-star hotels and whatever, where, the accommodation's reasonable, but I still think it's very expensive.
Okay.
And even the restaurants and all down that way are so, so expensive. Now, I know when you're running a pub or a restaurant, run costs, especially with food, it's labour intensive, and I understand that the running costs are quite high. Okay. But other places in the country,
But you say, your line is going on me again, but you're saying, one, Ireland is dear, but two, Killarney is the dearest.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
My experience anyway, yeah.
Okay, definitely. Well, let's see what we hear. Thanks indeed, John. Anne O'Donnell, Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. How are you? You're saying your competitors are making hay while your shops are closed.
Well, yes. But first of all, I do realise that we have to be closed, and I commend the government on their whole dealing with all of this. And I commend all the people who have towed the line. But unfortunately, Dunn's have a lovely new unit. Well, not new unit, but a lovely refurbished unit on the Ennis Road, and it's a credit to them.
Tell me where that is.
Limerick
Road in Limerick, okay.
And they are wide open selling. Initially, when the lockdown happened, they cordoned off and still have the grocery cordoned off from the homewares and the clothing.
Mm-hmm.
But you walk out the grocery and into the clothing, and they're selling clothing and all non-essential items. And I find that very strange because, as well, they're located inside a shopping centre. They have no street exits. And they're over the 4,000 square feet, which is going to be only allowed open on the 29th of June.
And your shop is, have you one shop or a number of shops?
I have two shops. Okay. Well, my daughter is involved in the business.
Very good.
It's a 75-year-old business. It's in operation that long, so we've seen all different times come and go.
Okay. It seems deeply unfair. But Richard Barron is MD of the well-known chain, Pamela Scott fashion chain. Richard, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Well, how are you doing, more importantly?
Not so good, Joe. Okay. I've been going down to my store on Grafton Street since the 16th of March when we closed.
Hmm.
And I've been going into Marks and Spencer's every second day to get some food. And every day, the first time I went down to the food hall, it was fine. Everything was correct. And all of a sudden, every day, they'd bring their clothing line into the food hall. And then yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I walked in, and the whole shop, now you can shop or you can do your food, buy your clothes, all the fashion clothes is now for sale, and people are just shopping around. My stores will be closed, 50% of our stores will be closed for 4 months, Joe, the 28th of June, wow. and then the balance in the shopping centres on the 10th of August. And I think it's grossly unfair. But that's just not Marks and Spencer's, Joe. It's done stores, like that lady said, Aldi, Lidl, Tesco. They're all selling maxi dresses, summer clothes, and all of us doing what we're told by the government, staying closed, with lovely clothes, looking at my clothes every single day, Joe. Mm. And I can't open my doors, but these guys, it must be one rule for the big boys, is it?
Well, you're highlighting it, which I wasn't aware. I didn't know Marks and Spencer's was completely reopened. I didn't know Dunn.
The ground floor is open. A big yeah. lady from Ennis, their store I was in Tesco's. I was in even Aldi on special days, on Thursdays and Sundays. They have a big, it's all non-essential goods. But particularly for I speak for Pamela Scott's with 28 stores, mm-hmm. but also for all the boutiques that I know for many, many years. And they're closed. They can't sell their clothes, but these guys are allowed to close. We did what we were told to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to be closed for 6 months, close to 6 months, Joe. And they're allowed to sell food. Good luck to them. But they're allowed to sell clothes on top of that. I think it's grossly unfair. And the government should get their finger out, really.
But don't you front onto Grafton Street, don't you? You're not in a mall in Grafton.
No, we're on the street. Yeah.
You're on the street, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and I'm also thinking, but would they say, well, hang on, the likes of Pamela Scott, Ted Baker, you all have a great reputation for good, really fashionable, up-to-date, in one sense, unique offerings.
No,
whereas M&S and Dunn...
The Dunn stores have really lifted their profile. They all have to start... Not everything is basics in Pamela Scott's either. Marks and Spencer's have lot of their own brands. Dunn stores are doing their own thing. They're very fashionable now. So I just think, I don't understand why they're allowed to open just because they have food and they can sell non-essential clothes and we can't at all. Everybody's given out about Joe. There's murder around the country.
Is there, yeah?
Yeah.
Amongst chains.
Well, all my store managers are ringing me, Richard, why can't we open, Richard? We have a beautiful store in Ennis. We have 20 stores all over the country. Why can't we open? I'm in Dunn stores, I'm in Marks and Spencer's, Tesco's, and they're selling clothes that we could sell. So they're all concerned. Why are we waiting 4 to 6?
That's very unfair.
So I just want to get my point across. I think it's
done it well. And how many people employed in the 20s?
250 staff, Joe.
Wow.
And it's a family business, Joe. I think you remember myself and my brother used to pop over when you used to do the radio show opposite Davy Burns there many years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Richard, you're on Grafton Street. How are you managing rent-wise? Well, among other strong locations.
I think we just have to take every store and take every landlord as they come and let's see what happens, really. I think the government really will have to get the head out of the sand and start supporting all the boutiques and all the store groups in Ireland, because to close the 4 to 5 months, Joe, it's very hard to stay around for that type of that time without the support. And I hope the government can, formate something quickly and help. Because there's family businesses, Joe, and small boutiques all over the country that are the heart and soul of the business.
Like
everybody says, but there's nothing at the moment. So hopefully...
Have you an online offering?
We have an online offering, but it's a small one, Joe.
Yeah,
we're bricks and mortar. We look after our customers as best we can.
I know. They're lovely shops, too. Anne, can you do anything online?
Yes, we have an online store and we certainly are doing some business. But like Richard says, hello Richard, how are you?
It's, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Good in these times. It's a small one, you know, the way we don't have a huge offering on it, but we have a nice offering on it. But in saying that, people depend on us for our bricks and mortar and our customer service. And like we're so well known, everybody in the Midwest shops with us. It's O'Donnell Boutique on Catherine Street.
Joe, can I interrupt? Question, Joe. Why would you try to, I'm not saying you're defending the Dunn stores and the Aldi's, but do you not see the point that everybody's saying is that if they have clothes, they're not supposed to be selling clothes. They're supposed to be selling food and essential goods. Clothing is not essential because we're all closed. So,
Well, let me bring Heidi Good in. Heidi is MD of Goods Department Store.
Very called nice operation.
The eponymous store. It's in Kilkenny. Dunn's in Kilkenny, Heidi.
It came to my attention, Joe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Towards the end of April, because like everybody else, I was in self-isolation, staying within my 2 kilometres and only going out for essential things. And then word slowly drifted back as from the 16th of May through to the middle of April that indeed you could buy clothes. And I made a few phone calls and discovered that many of the supermarkets who were allowed to stay open but had additional departments were also selling from them. I contacted different people and in the middle of that discovered that Heather Humphreys is aware of this and had warned the supermarkets who have non-essential departments not to sell from them. So I'm really a bit dismayed that that hasn't been enforced.
So you're saying Heather Humphreys made it clear, the minister, made it clear that the supermarkets were to open for essential goods and clothing, obviously, because you're all closed, clothing is not regarded as essential at this stage.
I wasn't on the conference call. I've heard back through connections and contacts that there
was the general understanding, wasn't it?
That there was a conference call with representative organisations from a variety of retailers, including the supermarkets. And the retailers, like ourselves, raised the issue of them selling non-essentials. And Heather Humphreys, from as far as I know, warned them that they weren't to sell from those departments. But unfortunately, it would seem to be the case that some of us are bit too big to have to apply by the laws, whereas like my fellow retailers there on the phone, we are doing everything we can to stay in business, but within the bounds and the spirit, Joe. I think even more importantly than the laws and the protocols is
good
the spirit
point,
of this.
That's a very good point.
And it hurts on a personal level.
So
that
you've another month and long, more than a month to June the 29th before you can officially reopen.
Yeah,
But you're asking to be, anyway, are you asking that you reopen earlier or that Dunnes
and Tesco,
Aldi stick to essentials?
I think the government has done overall an excellent job. And I think, you know, there's a lot to be proud of as we have how we have approached this in Ireland. So I don't want to take away from all that they've done.
Good point.
I don't see any need to. I'm fully on board, really, with opening on the 29th because this is life and death and quality of life. So it's much bigger than that. But you know what? In the spirit, we now have a level playing field.
Okay, Brona.
Stand together.
Okay, Heidi, Brona Keogh in Blackrock and Dublin.
Joe. My name is Brona. I'm an outright pensioner. And I've been concluding here at home since the 12th of March. And I rang my sister and she told me that the driveway in Cornish Court was open.
Okay.
And I was delighted because last Saturday I celebrated my 64th birthday.
Okay.
And I got gift clothes vouchers and money for clothes.
Okay.
So I was very surprised you heard that the drapery indoors was open. So that a couple of days ago, maybe it was Tuesday, my sister was doing all my shopping for me, went into Dunnes and she got me some clothes, which I was thrilled to wear because all my other clothes are worn out.
Okay, and your point is that
Dunnes, that they should leave the drapery indoors open because once you go into Dunnes, you're exposing yourself anyway.
Yeah.
So why is everybody giving out the Dunnes and Penny's one did the decent thing and they closed all their stores in Ireland with the loss of 700 jobs?
Okay. And that point was made earlier that Dunnes and indeed Penny's have for their end of the market have been very, very, very good. Heidi and Anne and Richard, is there any prospect of what's your VAT rate on clothes at the minute, Heidi? I know children's clothes are exempt.
23%.
Do you expect a break?
Hope for one. It was, I know you, Richard, it was 21% for a long time and it went up. And it would be significant help if it went back even a couple percentage points in this climate.
Okay. All right, Brona Keogh, Heidi Good, Anne O'Donnell and Richard Barron. I hope you get back up and running as ASAP and stay safe. 51551, wash your hands.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Grace, good afternoon. Grace is the parent of a Leaving Cert student and a former teacher. And you think the predicted grades system will be, to say the least, unfair. But Grace, are you not worried that conversation about it has almost been shut down by the government because they've said that canvassing or anyone trying to make a case for a relation, or indeed themselves, in this exam, there will be penalties. So it has, as we discovered, shut down people either making a number of people have been on to us about some teachers who are will do online, some teachers who are simply refusing to do online, and there's no comeback because if you do complain, that same teacher will be marking the whatever subject it is. Grace, your points, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Joe. I am a retired teacher, and mm-hmm. I have huge questions around the what we call the calculated or predicted grades. Like, students are students, and you have students who work consistently over 2 years. You have students mm-hmm. who dip in and out of work for, and this is not always by choice. And then you have students who coast, and when it comes up towards exams, they can work very hard. And these are often students who, you know, from mocks or Christmas exams, that their grades can increase hugely because of the volume of work they put in. And I feel this year it's even more complicated because once school's closed, there's a whole group of students who actually have worked mm-hmm. very hard, you yeah. know, and they've used the online classes, whatever support they have, but they have worked hard themselves at home. And I am concerned about how a teacher can accurately estimate the grade that any of those students would get when they sit the Leaving Cert. I've also questions around project work. You know, there are subjects mm. where projects are attached, and some of these projects are worth up to 25% of the overall grade.
Wow, yeah.
Now, originally the projects were due on the 3rd of April. That was 3 weeks after schools closed. There would be students, again, you know, who have their projects done. They would have the full project submitted because it's finished. There are other students who would be in the process of working on their projects. Then when the oral exams, when they awarded full marks for the oral yeah. exams, the projects were pushed out to May. And then when the exams were cancelled, the project work was pushed out to the end of June. Now, there are students who, at that stage, would have continued to work on projects. There are students who would have parked the projects because they wanted to work on maybe a different subject. And again, how does a teacher give an mm-hmm. estimate grade to these students, particularly when there were students who would have put in a full project?
Okay. And you were a Leaving Cert, you were a teacher. Did you teach Leaving Cert students?
Oh, I did.
Would you feel confident in giving predictive grades?
No, I
which will affect
know.
The rest of their lives.
Because well,
the grades are about, the only reason we have predictive grades is supply and demand. We've got to decide who won't get into college this year.
That is the problem here, Joe, because you can estimate, you know where a student is in the class. They could be in the top group, they're in the middle group, they're in the bottom group of your class. But what teachers are being asked to do here is they are being asked not only to give an estimated mark for the subject, but they are also being asked to rank students. Now, that means if I have a class of 25 Leaving Cert students, I have to basically decide which student is first in my class, who is second, who is third, who is fourth. Using the estimated mm-hmm. grades, which are, you know, there is no way, Joe, that those grades can be fully accurate. And if they're not fully accurate, they are not fair to students. They can't be fair to students in the class. And what will happen then, Joe, if I have three or four students of, you know, similar ability in the mm-hmm. class, I am being forced to give them a place in my class. Now, if I put one of those students, we say I put one of those students as number 5, one is number 6, one is number 7. The student who I put at number 5 could end up with, we say, a H2, a H3. Mm-hmm. The student I put at number 6 could end up with a H4. Now, the problem here is that those students then get different points. So there are students every year who miss out on college places by a very small amount of points. And the rank I give those students can influence what course they get. I can determine. Now, I mean, obviously teachers, like, I am not questioning professionalism. I'm not questioning integrity.
Yeah.
But I think what teachers are being asked to do here, it is impossible to get it fully right and to be accurate, and therefore it is inherently unfair, or will be inherently unfair to students.
Let me bring in a former student, and that's Emily. Emily, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Your experience, you say, I'll begin. If I had been graded in 2015, what would have happened?
Well, I failed two of my mocks.
Okay.
Just coming up to the leaving cert. I got 17%, and I was pressured by teachers to drop down the ordinary level and that I wouldn't succeed in my leaving cert.
Okay.
I proved them wrong, and I got a B1 in both of those subjects at higher level. And completely turned around only in the last couple of months leading up to the leaving cert, which they're missing out on now.
Okay, and you're saying you got your points to get into Trinity, but your principal was shocked that you scored so high, in a good way.
Yeah, he kind of thought it was a bit unbelievable, but more kind of unbelievable than anything that I actually achieved those points.
Okay, it's a deteriorating line, but I take your point to Emily and Grace. Yo!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
But the issue was raised earlier on by Richard Barron of Pamela Scott that places, shops, one-off stores like his, Ted Baker's, all the other boutiques, independent boutiques, they are being told they have to stay shut, while closed sections, and as Richard said, the fashion branding in the likes of M&S and Dunnes, etc., is quite high. Closed sections in supermarkets have gradually re-emerged, as we discovered today on the programme. Serena, good afternoon. Where were you yesterday where you bought your beautiful new white jeans?
Hi, Joe. I have to say I didn't realise I was doing anything wrong. But I was in the Ashley Shopping Centre, which is on Cromesfort Road, Dublin 12.
Yeah, yeah.
The Dunn's grocery is on the ground floor, and then there's an elevator up to the clothes section, which was open yesterday, so obviously I went up and was busy.
And did you realise that Dunn's clothes were open, but all the boutiques and the Ted Bakers and the Pamela Scotts and Listomall, they're all being told stay shut?
Yeah, there is a clothes shop up there, a really nice one actually, and it was closed, has been closed since March.
But Dunn's says right. Okay, Fiona and Laura Canning. It's not just Dunn's, by the way. It's Tesco's and other, and M&S and other big flagships. Fiona.
Yeah. Hi.
The reason why you want all of Dunn's to stay open is why all of the store is why.
Well, not all of Dunn's. I heard the guy from Pamela Scott talking
there.
I just from a personal point of view, I was thinking clothes are essential. They're just it's fashion that's not essential. So I have a baby, and I have three friends that had new babies recently. And if anyone who has babies know, they just grow overnight. Every three months, you need new clothes for a baby. So I'd be lost if Tesco wasn't there.
For baby clothes.
Yeah. Okay. And it's not. It's very hard to find the stuff. Like there's now, it's the quietest place, the Tesco clothes aisle. And then I had to go up to Dunn's looking for vests the other day, and I expected someone told me they brought the clothes down in Donegal. And I was walking around looking for the clothes section, and kind of like Tesco, but it wasn't like that at all. They kind of really evenly dispersed it out in each aisle, so you had to walk up and down the aisle. So there was no.
But are you saying, Fiona, that in some stores they actually brought the drapery into the food area?
Oh, they have, yeah.
That's but weird.
I think it's a better idea to do that though, because you're not having a big cluster of people. I don't know if that was the point that he was trying to make. Like, there's not, or anyone's trying to make that there'd be a fashion shop, like shopper spree over in one corner. People aren't going out.
What they were
clothes,
saying is, we're not allowed to sell clothes, or why are Dunn stores allowed? We're told we're non-essential in clothes. I know the baby issue is different. Of course, you're right.
It's very limited.
Children have grown since the lockdown. Babies have grown since the lockdown. Laura Canning, Laura. Yeah.
Hi. Yeah.
Your point, please, Laura.
Yeah, the same as that. I have a 15-month-old, so recently transitioned in sizes, and I would have been lost without a supermarket drapery open for the basics like baby grows and sleep suits and socks and all that type of thing. And I think it makes sense because, like, we're only making necessary journeys, and the grocery shop is really the only journey that I'm making at the moment. So that I can get them there as well.
Okay. I'm over time. Thanks, Laura Canning. Thanks, Fiona. And best wish with your children. Best wishes with your children. Elaine Conlon was a broadcast coordinator. Richie Byrne was in research. Dave Gibson was in sound. And Rebecca Meehan, producer. Ray Darcy's next.